Micah! Oh my gosh! Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Will you blindfold yourself? What? Please. I need you to. Thank you. What? Stop. Just blindfold yourself. Over your eyes. Can you see anything?
No.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I don't know, Tori.
Put this one on as well. I need to double check.
Just got double check?
Yeah. Okay. Now, Micah,
what?
I have put an object in this room. I've set it down, and I need you to find it.
Cool.
So, yeah, I need you to look for it. No.
Right.
It's in this area. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, you can take off your mask now. Your blindfold. Look now. What am I looking? What are you looking for? Yeah, a stool. It was the stool. Why was it easier for you to see that the second time when you took these off?
I don't know if I could see.
Because you could see. Correct. Good job. Everyone, give Micah a hand, honestly. Because he could see, right? We are all searching for something in this life. We're all searching for something. Fulfillment, worth, purpose. Unfortunately, just like Micah, a lot of us are looking for things, but we're looking without really knowing what we're looking for. And so we're walking around in the dark, blindfolded to what we're searching for. And today, we're going to be looking at a story in John chapter 9. So will you turn there with me? And we're going to be looking at a miracle that Jesus performs. And this is our sixth week in this series. And every single miracle involves Jesus encountering someone and their life being changed forever. And so we know from this that miracles reveal something to us about the person of Jesus. And today we're going to see that this miracle found in chapter 9 is that Jesus is the light of the world, the one that brings light to the darkness. And as we walk through this story, I want you to see that it's not only a story that was for the participants in the time in Jerusalem right there when Jesus was performing this miracle, but also for us 2,000 years later, that his story, this blind man who was born blind from birth, is actually our story as well, and that we get to learn from him as he encounters the Son of God, and his eyes go from being completely blind to seeing the things of God. And we're going to see that faith in Jesus opens the eyes of our heart to see the things of God. That when we see and when our eyes are opened, we see the things of God. So let's jump in. Verse 1, chapter 9, says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. So Jesus and his posses rolling out, they're walking down the streets of Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, Jesus looks off to his left, and he sees a man born blind, sitting on the side of the road, completely outcasted, sitting there as a beggar. He has no purpose, no life whatsoever. He's useless to society. He gets spit on and rejected, and he is alone, and Jesus walks down the street, and he sees this man. And we see that his disciples ask him a question. They say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Which is like, dude, disciples, you cannot just straight up ask someone why they are the way that they are, right? That's so inconsiderate. But they do, and this actually wasn't uncommon in the time. You see, the people in Jesus' time thought that if someone had a certain suffering, it was because there was a certain sin that was happening in their life, okay? So certain sin committed means that there was a certain suffering. And so his disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, what did this guy do? What did he do? What did his parents do that he deserved this? I feel like we find ourselves asking that question a lot of times. I don't know if you guys get it as much as I do, but one of the reasons that people don't really believe in Jesus is, man, how could something happen to someone so good? Why are bad things happening to good people? I do not get it. And a lot of times I don't have the full answer for it. And I don't necessarily know why, and I don't understand. But I do know that Jesus' response to his disciples here, when he says, if it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. That in the midst of suffering and in the midst of trials, God always has a greater plan. And we are about to see that Jesus is going to walk up to this man, and he is going to use his trial and his suffering as a testimony for God's power and God's glory. And it's going to be beautiful. And let's continue. Jesus says, they're walking closer to this man, and I'm sure he kind of hears them talking, and they're walking closer to him, and he's sitting there, and Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so the man who has been born blind, the beggar, is sitting right there, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them this. And what he is telling them here is exactly what he told them in chapter 8, where he said, I am the light of the world. The chosen Messiah, sent from God, the Son of God, like it says in Isaiah 29, when he comes, he is going to open the eyes of the blind so that all might see. And Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm about to do something in this guy's life to prove that I am the Messiah. So wait and watch. And then he bends down, and I'm sure the guy who's blind is like, what the heck is happening right now? And all of a sudden he's getting eager and he's like, maybe Jesus is going to heal me. I don't know. Like, I know that he's healed other people. So maybe I'm about to get sight, or I'm really confused. I don't know. He just said that he's the light of the world. I don't really understand what's happening. And then he hears Jesus say, and his disciples are like, what? Like, gross. Like, that is just, like, what are you doing, Jesus? Like, you could definitely just snap your fingers and his eyes would be healed immediately, right? But he bends down and he spits in the dirt. And when I was first reading this, I'm like, what? Why would you do that? That makes no sense, Jesus, whatsoever. But this is a fun fact. Did you know that back then, someone's spit was represented their life. So if you had saliva in your mouth, it meant that you were alive. And so Jesus doing this is him spitting his life, that he is human, alive and breathing, and he's spitting it into the ground to mix mud. And he is about to take this mud and make a new creation on this man's face. Where else do we see this in the Bible? That God taking something from the ground and making a new creation? Genesis. Genesis 2 says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And so here we have the Son of God bent down, taking his life into the mud to make a new creation on this man who was born blind from birth. In the same way that God bent down and he swirled the ground and he formed Adam, man. He continues, and he takes this mud, he takes his life, he scoops it up off of the ground, and he anoints the man's eyes. I'm sure he's like, what are you doing? Like, I really am, this is so confusing to me, Jesus, I don't understand. And Jesus wipes the mud, his life, on his eyes. And he tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Have you guys ever been to the pool in Siloam Springs? The pool of Siloam looks nothing like this. Not as many kiddie pools, not a splash pad or anything, but similar. And so just for visual reference, right? This is actually what the Pool of Siloam looked like. So when Jesus, at the place that Jesus was healing this man's eyes, he was about half a mile, roughly, away from this pool. And so Jesus puts mud on this blind man's eyes, and he says, hey, I want you to go walk a mile to the Pool of Siloam, which means scent, and I want you to wash your eyes off. And the guy's like, what? I'm blind. Like, I don't understand. But he trusts in the word of God. He's hopeless and he's desperate and he says, man, God, if you say, I guess, like, if you say that this is what I should do, then I'm going to stand up and I'm going to walk obediently and I'm going to go wash my eyes off in this water. This pool, spring, in the middle of Jerusalem was called a spring sent forth by God. Because in King Hezekiah's reign, he built this tunnel into Jerusalem that it would bring fresh water for the people. And so all of the people knew that this was water that was sent by God. And so Jesus is telling this man, I anointed your eyes with my life, and now I want you to go wash in the water, wash in the one sent, the Messiah. And he obeys. He obeys Jesus' command, and he gets up and he walks. It says, so he went and he washed. And I want you to picture this. This man has been born blind, okay? People who are born blind have no context whatsoever for anything in the world, okay? Their brain has not processed colors, shapes, faces, they can't see anything, right? There's a disconnect. And he tells him to stand up, and he continues to walk for a mile to the water that was sent by God. And he stumbles down the steps. He gets to the steps, and he slowly is trying to make his way through the crowd down the steps, looking for the living water, looking for the pure water. And I bet he got there, and he knelt down, and he began to wash his face off. And as he threw water onto his face, the mud began to peel off of his eyes like scales. And all of a sudden, in the water, he saw his face for the first time. And he's like, dang, I look good, right? And he's probably like, wait, why didn't anyone tell me I had a stain on my shirt? And he's like looking at himself. And all of a sudden, everything in life comes into focus, right? All of these questions that he's had, all of these struggles and frustrations, they all come to light. They're brought to light in this moment when he washes his eyes and he can finally see. And he starts leaping and he starts dancing, and I'm sure he's so excited because for the first time, he understands what life is. He gets to navigate through life. He gets to see the things that he's searching for. Once he had no purpose, but now all of a sudden he has purpose. And so I'm sure he's running around being like, hey, yo, check me out. Look, my hands, I can see. Ask me how many fingers you're holding up. I can tell you, right? He's at the water. People start to notice his life change. In verse 8, it says, the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. And he kept saying, no, it is me. Like, I once was blind, now I see. Okay? This was me. And they said, then how were your eyes opened? Like, they're very, very confused at how something like this could happen. And the reason for this is because it is an act of God, that the only way for us to find sight in this life is through Jesus, is through Jesus opening up our eyes. And he gives a testimony to these people who ask him. It's not a fancy testimony by any means, but he just tells them, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed and I received sight. And then, throughout the chapter, as you read, he continues to be intensively questioned. How did this happen to you? You're a liar. There's no way that this happened to you. We saw you on the street. You were a beggar. You didn't know anything. There's no way that's you. You must have a twin brother. They even call his parents, and they're like, hey, is this your son? Because there's no way that someone who was born blind now can see. There's no way that that happens, except through Jesus. And we see every single time that he's questioned, his faith continues to rise. And he goes from saying, he's just a man, his name's Jesus, to no, he's a prophet. He's one sent by God. And then he says, no, he is from God, and I believe in him. I choose him. I choose Jesus, because guess what? I remember 2 hours ago when I was sitting on these steps, and my life was changed. He came and he anointed my eyes, and now I see, and I believe in him. And then he ends this chapter by saying, not only do I believe in him, but I am a follower of him, I am his disciple, and I choose him. And he says the famous line in verse 25 that we've heard in our favorite song, if you've grown up at the church at all, and he says, one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And this becomes his anthem. A man who was born blind, rejected from the world, encountered Jesus, and his life was changed forever. And he once was blind, and now he sees. The passage continues, and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders and his friends and his parents are frustrated at his testimony, and they don't believe him. And it says that they cast him out of the synagogue. And so we see this man who was born blind ends up back on the street rejected by man. And he's sitting there and he's alone and he's probably frustrated because he doesn't understand, because he's like, I know what happened to me. I know that they don't believe me. I know that it looks crazy and it seems silly, but I was sitting here and Jesus came and he met me here and he put mud on my eyes and he changed me. And then Jesus finds him. Jesus hears that he's been kicked out of the synagogue and he's sitting there, and then all of a sudden, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, comes and finds him and he sits next to him. And he looks at him and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And we see a characteristic of our Father right here in the person of Jesus, that he is way more concerned about the condition of our hearts. He wanted to make sure that this man knew without a shadow of a doubt that it was him that he met. And that not only did he heal his sight physically, but in that moment he healed him spiritually. And for the first time, I think this man experienced what it looks like to follow Jesus. And he saw past this world and into eternity because he chose to believe in Jesus and then immediately worshiped him. Faith in Jesus opens the eyes of our heart to see the things of God. And so we look at this man's story. It is a true testament of what a faithful follower of Jesus looks like. And if you claim to be a follower of Jesus in this room, then this is what your story looks like. It's exactly what it looks like. That in the same way that this man was born blind from birth, you too were born blind. All of us were. That sin had separated us from God. Ephesians 2 says that, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. And they are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Psalm 139 says that we were born in our iniquity, in our sin. Separated from God, blind to the things of God, in darkness. But then we encounter Jesus, right? I remember the moment that I met Jesus. I remember that he sat down next to me and he revealed himself to me in the same way that he came and he sat down next to this blind man and he said, "Hey, I see you and I want you to follow me. I see you and I want you to follow me." And then you respond in obedience, right? This man could have sat here. Jesus could have put mud on his eyes and he could have chosen not to stand up in obedience and walk and wash his eyes off. But he believed in what God said. And he said, "No, I trust Jesus. I trust that even though I don't have all the answers, I don't know everything, I am going to stand up and I'm going to walk forward. And I'm going to do as you say because I trust you. And I want so badly to see the things of God." And it says that the man came back seeing and he was given the eyes to see the things of God. And for those of you who've placed your faith in Jesus and you are walking faithfully, trusting him, not with all the answers, not that life is perfect, but you are walking faithfully and you're trusting him, then you too are a new creation. Scripture says that he gave our heart of stone a heart of flesh, that he makes us old, he makes our old self new. He gives us eyes to see the things of God. He takes us out of this world and these 85, 95, 135 years that we have on this world, and he puts us into eternity and says, "Hey, I want you to see life through eternity." Because the reality is we're not going to be here forever. We're not. And I want you to live this life walking in the light of who I am, knowing that there is an eternity promised for you, and that I am for you, and that I love you, and that I see you. This is our story. We lose our life that we cannot keep to gain our Savior that we cannot lose. That the life that we live right now, we cannot keep. That it is wasting away. But in the same way that this man was rejected by people, he was rejected by his family and his friends, and he was outcasted, but Jesus came and he met him, and he gained Jesus. He gained sight to see the things of God. And in that moment, that's all that mattered. And in that moment with us, that is all that matters. And when we die and we leave this earth, this is all that matters, that we never lose Jesus. And so, I want to leave this with you and ask you a few questions. If this is supposed to be a replication of what it looks like to be a faithful follower of Jesus, then I want you to sit here and really sit here and ask yourself, where am I in the story? What part of this is me? Maybe you're sitting there and you're still blind to the things of God. That you show up to church because your girlfriend brought you or your boyfriend brought you or your parents are making you come. And to be honest, you don't really care about the things of God. You don't really get kind of what's going on, right? Nothing makes sense, really. And so you're sitting there and you're blind. And you know that there's more to life than just the life that you're living, but you don't know what. And you're walking around in the same way that Micah was walking around trying to look for something. He knew he was looking for something, but he didn't know what it was. In the same way, people look around for something. They know that there's something more out there, but they don't know what it is. And it's Jesus. And so if you're blind, if you would say, "Yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm blind. I honestly don't get all of this at all." Then I want you to know that Jesus sees you. The start of the story is that this man was sitting on the side of the road and that Jesus saw him. And I want you to know that Jesus sees you today, right now. And he saw you yesterday and the day before, and he sees you tomorrow. And the next day and the next day, he sees you. And that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a definitive statement. that God says, if you say to me in the same way he asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said, Lord, I believe. In that moment, he was saved. And God is saying, if you confess me, you will be saved. And in that moment, light will be shown into your heart, into the darkness and everything else. All of these dots and things that don't make sense in your life will all of a sudden start to weave together and piece together, because that is what Jesus does. Maybe you're sitting on the side of the road and Jesus has met you and you feel him and you've had those encounters, or you looked at someone's life and you're like, man, they really love Jesus. And I feel like Jesus is asking me to follow him, but I haven't really done that yet. I would say that I go to church on Sunday and I go to cell group on Sunday or on Wednesday, but I still am sitting here. I wouldn't say that I have trusted him enough to walk forward and trust who he is and to wash myself in his word so that I can know more about him and so that I can continue to see the things of God. I'm still sitting here and I feel stuck. My parents just got divorced. Someone in my family just got sick. I feel frustrated. School isn't working out how it is. I didn't get into the college I wanted to get into. I got hurt and injured and I wanted to play college sports and I can't, and life doesn't make sense and I don't understand and I'm frustrated and I don't want to stand up and I don't want to walk. Maybe you're sitting here and I want to encourage you to stand up, to trust Jesus and his word, that I promise you that the moment that you stand up and you walk and you wash in his word, that he will meet you there and that your eyes will be open to the things of God. Maybe you would sit here and say, man, I am his disciple. I am a follower of Jesus in the same way that he was claiming. I believe in Jesus. I do not know all of the answers whatsoever. I am no theologian, okay? You ask me some things about the Bible and I would say, I don't really understand it. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that I sat there and Jesus met me and he changed my life. I do not understand it. It is a supernatural act of God that I do not understand, but I do know that I choose him and I am choosing to follow him. And that the Lord has taken my suffering and my trials and he has made it a testimony, and I am standing here today a new person. And if people press back on you and they look at you and they're like, you're no different than you were freshman year. You're no different than you were senior year. You're no different than you were last semester. You can confidently stand in the same way that this man stood and say, hey, I once was blind to the things of God, but now I see because I met this man named Jesus. And I don't get it, but I'm following him and I trust him. And my encouragement to you is to keep pressing forward into that. Keep trusting the Lord in that. 2 Corinthians 4 said, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus opens the eyes of our heart to see the things of God. I asked Ty to play this song for us because it's one of my favorites. And I want, as you sit here and you ponder where you are in this story and where you find yourself, I want you to sing these words, because no matter where you are, I pray that it is continually the prayer of our heart and the posture of our heart to say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I can see you. Because this world is dark and it is hard and I need you. And sometimes I feel really beaten up and rejected and alone, but I need you. And Jesus promises, he says, I am the light of the world. And he meets you there and he sees you and he's asking you to follow him. And so we're gonna sing this song, and I pray that you would worship the Lord, and that as you sing it, it would be the prayer that you sing over yourself. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to know you.